Chapter 16. At 11 o'clock we alighted upon a sign which manifestly referred to billiards. Joy! We had played billiards in the Azores with balls that were not round, and on an ancient table that was very little smoother than a brick pavement, one of those wretched old things with dead cushions, and with patches in the faded cloth and invisible obstructions that made the balls describe the most astonishing and unsuspected angles and perform feats in the way of unlooked for and almost impossible scratches that were perfectly bewildering. We had played at Gibraltar with balls the size of a walnut, on a table like a public square, and in both instances we achieved far more aggravation than amusement. We expected to fare better here, but we were mistaken. The cushions were a good deal higher than the balls, and as the balls had a fashion of always stopping under the cushions, we accomplished very little in the way of caroms. The cushions were hard and inelastic, and the cues were so crooked that in making a shot you had to allow for the curve, or you would infallibly put the English on the wrong side of the hall. Dan was to mark, while the doctor and I played. At the end of an hour neither of us had made a count, and so Dan was tired of keeping tally with nothing to tally, and we were heated and angry and disgusted. We paid the heavy bill about 6 cents and said we would call around sometime when we had a week to spend and finish the game. We adjourned to one of those pretty cafes and took supper and tested the wines of the country as we had been instructed to do and found them harmless and unexciting. They might have been exciting, however, if we had chosen to drink a sufficiency of them. To close our first day in Paris cheerfully and pleasantly, we now sought our grand room in the Grand Hotel du Louvre, and climbed into our sumptuous bed to read and smoke, but alas! It was pitiful, in a whole city full, gas we had none. No gas to read by, nothing but dismal candles. It was a shame. We tried to map out excursions for the morrow. We puzzled over French flights to Paris. We talked disjointedly in a vain endeavor to make head or tail of the wild chaos of the day's sights and experiences. We subsided to indolent smoking. We gaped and yawned and stretched, then feebly wondered if we were really and truly in renowned Paris, and drifted drowsily away into that vast mysterious void which men call sleep. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.